Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus said in Luke 11:13, he says, "How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him?" He said that to believers. And so as he's slowly ascending upward, they just heard him say, in a great blessing, he says, "You're going to be filled with power."
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. If you picked up your copy of the one-year Bible yet, we'll be reading that one-year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the one-year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Saving the Best for Last. You know, this series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we end our series in chapter 24, we'll see Jesus as he says goodbye. You see, it's time for Jesus to leave, so he leaves his followers with a blessing and a promise of the Holy Spirit to come. And while he was blessing them, he departs from them and was carried up to heaven. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that we can't live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to go out into a dying and hurting world and give them the hope of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, with his message called Saving the Best for Last, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is a deep, powerful excitement, yes, but we would, they're like giddy. They're crazy happy, mega happy, mega deep abiding fulfillment that nobody can take away. By the way, it's that word in the Old Testament where David says in Psalm 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." They worshiped him, yep. They witnessed for him, yep. They worked for him, and now they were to wait. They were to go to Jerusalem. And as they're going, they're worshiping, they return there, they have great joy. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, which, by the way, wasn't many days after this moment, and I had to write this down because I'll explain this here in a moment. In Acts 2, 41, listen to what it says. It says, "Those who gladly received his word," that is the preaching of the gospel after Jesus ascended, the disciples, the apostles, the followers of Christ went back to Jerusalem. It says that those who gladly received his word, that is the preaching of the gospel, were baptized. And that day, how many? 3,000 people were added to the church, to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Why am I pointing this out? Because you guys, what God does, because he's the God of the living, what he does, it lives, and it's alive. And when they went back to Jerusalem, worshiping and returning with great joy, God began to move in their lives. You cannot be filled with great joy because your eyes are fixed on Jesus and be dead. It's not possible. And they were just doing what they were doing out of joy. Don't raise your hand, but are you studying for the ministry? Are you in seminary? Do you desire to be an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor, a Christian worker? Fantastic. Just be careful. In all of your learning, don't let it rob you of your joy. We see people so excited about Jesus go into professional seminary and they do their 4 to 8 years or 4 to 6 years and they come out and they're dead. They go in with great faith, they come out with hardly any faith. No wonder why Paul the Apostle ditched seminary and went to the wilderness of Arabia and was tutored by Jesus for years. Read the book of Galatians. Wow. Be careful. Be careful. Why? Let God use your joy. When your joy is fixed on him, you will be a believer alive. You'll never have to worry about backsliding. You'll never have to worry about being unfruitful. You'll never have to worry about, well, am I abiding in Christ today? Or did I abide in Christ yesterday? Or boy, I sure hope next Tuesday I'm abiding in Christ. Why even talk like that? Listen, oh, I hope I'm not a goat. I mean, I hope I'm a sheep. I hope I'm a sheep. I don't want to be a tare, which is a false believer. I hope I'm a wheat producing. Why do you worry about that? God's sheep hear his voice. They follow him. They're like wheat. They produce. Okay, they won't be false. They won't be fake. They don't have to worry about abiding because they do. That's what sheep do. Here's the fun thing. If you've been touched by God, you understand that you're on your way to heaven. Someday, if the Lord doesn't come back for all of us, we're going to be gathered around your bed. We're going to hold your hand and kiss your forehead and say, see you later. See you on the other side. And that joy will affect the world. In this case, 3,000 people got saved in one day. I've been convicted over that one verse this week, putting this message together, because I have, not in this audience, but I have often in other audiences with pastors or with other ministries, I have often downplayed the fact that we are a large church. I've almost been embarrassed by that. Number one, I never wanted a large church. About 250 people, that's perfect. In my opinion. But when people get saved and people tell other people and they come and get saved and then people grow, what are we supposed to do? Shut the doors and make people go away? All I know is that the gospel was preached and on one day, 3,000 people got saved and there was an instant mega church in Jerusalem. And what do we say about that? Mega churches are bad. Look, I'm the first one to say they have a lot of problems. Boy, pastor, pastors of smaller churches will always ask pastors of bigger churches, boy, I sure wish our church was big like yours. Are you sure? Here, I'll give you the keys. Why? Big church, big problems. But let's give glory where glory's due. Big church, big opportunities to affect the world in big ways. Amen. Wherever God is moving, find out and get with it. It's going to grow. It's going to get big. God's going to bless it. And here's what we do. I wish it was just smaller. It's funny. All of us love a church that once we get to it, okay, I don't want anybody else to come now. Right? Now that I'm here, I don't want anybody else to come. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm going to cut straight to the chase. A lot of people means you got to love a lot of people. And loving people is hard. Why? Because people are weird. Moods. Attitudes, personalities. Yeah, it's easy to hide in your house when you don't have to deal with people that you don't know. And God says, I want you to get to know them. But God, I don't like them. I didn't ask you if you liked them. Love them. Yeah. Think about that. We're not going to go to Calvary. It's too big. That's your choice. But I got news for you. You want to work out? You want to get in shape? Then why don't you come with us, because we're following Jesus. And here's the deal. God brings to a church all kinds of people. Sounds like the Oscar Mayer hot dog song. Fat people, short people, skinny people, tall kids who climb on rocks, even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Right? That's the church. That's the church. He gives us a vision that we're to repeat. Verse 53, and they continued in the temple praising and blessing God. These guys are absolutely gone bonkers for Jesus. And for the time being, that's exactly where they were supposed to be. Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem and you wait. Notice he said, wait in Jerusalem. He didn't say stay in Jerusalem, did he, church, did he? He said, wait in Jerusalem. Watch what happens. Time's going to come for them to be launched out into the world. Why are we to be together? Why are we to be in this setting that we're in right now and beyond? Because we are commanded to fellowship together, worship together, be together, serve one another together. This is what we've been commanded to do. The Bible warns us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, starting there. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let me tell you right now, I need you to do this and you need me. We need each other. You guys, come on. Hello, wake up. I need you, you need me. We have to do this together. We need to get involved in one another's lives and say, listen, we need each other's help, prayer, so that we might continue on in this faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. That's the Lord. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You got to be in a crowd to stir up one another to good works and love. not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, together. People are saying today, I'm going to stop going to church. Well, you know, I got 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't go to church. Hey, you know what? I can give you 2,000 reasons why you shouldn't go to church. I can give you 7,000 reasons why you shouldn't go to church. The argument's invalid. We are commanded to fellowship together as a church. Don't make apologies for the church. Jesus loves the church. I'm talking about the church and the world. He loves the church. We just prayed for the church in Turkey. God loves the church in Turkey. In Beijing, God loves the church in Beijing. Third and final points right here, saving the best for last. You thought I missed it, didn't you? I'm saving the best for last. You said, Jack, you skipped right over verse 49. No, I didn't. I saved the best for last. Look at verse 49. Jesus leaves us with a power. And it's a power that we need to define. Jesus leaves us with a power. Look at verse 49. Jesus says to them, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But you wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. First word, behold. This is a wonderful word. This is exactly what it means. You have seen, you are now watching, so keep looking. It's in the present continuum. Jesus says, you're looking now, you've seen it, so keep watching. What? Something's gonna happen. I'm gonna send you a promise that I've made you. The power, listen, mark it, the power to excel beyond. Church, listen. When he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, the word in Greek is epi, epi, upon you. This is not the Holy Spirit to indwell you. This is the Holy Spirit to come upon you. In the Bible, when God was speaking about the Holy Spirit to come inside of you, he used the word en in Greek, en. It means to dwell inside. He didn't use that word here. Jesus says, go back to Jerusalem and wait until. That's a key word as well. You wait there until, and then once you get the power, you go. But listen, church, don't go without the power. That power will come, epi, epi, will come upon you. It's a power in your mind's eye that you might picture God grabbing your shoulders and steering you about. Not inside. Yes, the Holy Spirit dwells inside. This is the power to be led, to be anointed. By the way, this issue, verse 49, it's tragic, but it creates conversations with people that ought not to happen because of denominational persuasions. This word is something altogether different than the moment of salvation. When you give your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside you forever. This word is a word that is used in Scripture for the Holy Spirit to come upon you again and again and again as needed. So watch this. Some people use the word the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some people will use the word the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people will use the word the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what word you use. Just make sure the Holy Spirit is on you. You see, well, Jack, I want that. Okay, well, listen, there's some strings attached. If you're not willing, honestly, to live for Jesus in service to others, yes, you're a Christian. Are you listening, everybody? It's critical. Yes, you're a Christian. Yes, you're going to heaven. But until you, watch me, until you step up and out into that terrifying, vulnerable moment of, Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. Lord, what would you have me to do? The moment you, listen, make yourself vulnerable is the moment he brings that power. If you are going to be a spectator Christian and never get in the game, you will never be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Why? Would you give a sword to a 2-year-old? No. You'd give a sword to a soldier. If someone is today saying, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for what? I don't know. Maybe is it filled? Do you feel anything? I don't know. I've never felt anything, but I've seen power later. Oh, well, you know, if you don't feel anything, do I want it? Let me tell you something. Do you finally now want to get victory over that rotten, stinking sin that's plaguing your life, that thing that keeps you set back? Then ask him for this power. Do you want to get beyond what is just the norm and say, Lord, I want to absolutely excel for your kingdom? Then listen, step up and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. This is critical. This is very, very important. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That's a great statement. Paul says, hey, you want to drink wine? What a waste of time. You're going to drink it, and then in an hour, it's going to go out. That's what that word means. You're going to lose. As someone is affected by wine, the fuzzy, the dumb, you know, somebody, I heard somebody say, hey, you know what? When people get drunk, that's the time to ask them for a loan. Why? Because they're stupid. Why are they stupid? Because they're under a foreign influence. Isn't it interesting that Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, it leaks, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he doesn't leak. You want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. John 14:6, Jesus says, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him, notice him, nor knows him, personal pronoun, him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, para, alongside, and shall be in you, en, salvation. I will not leave you orphaned, I will come to you. That's the act of salvation. John 14:26, but the parakletos, the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's why we read the Bible. The Holy Spirit brings it to our remembrance. John 16:7, for I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Go back to heaven. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And of righteousness. That's of Christ. And of judgment. That means the world's coming to an end. And of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. A reference to Satan. Listen to this. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, there's a way he's going to fix that. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The work of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4. And being assembled together, that is the disciples, after Jesus ascended, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. That's what we're learning here in Luke. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's that word api, the word upon. And then church this. Look at verse 49 again. The power to live life. He says, wait until you have the power. Here's the cool thing. I want all of you to hear this. If you pick up a book today about the Holy Spirit, and the guy tells you in the book, go sit on a mountaintop and wait. Go in your closet and wait. Go home and wait. Go to the beach and sit in the sand and wait. Just throw away the book. Because the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has come. What you want to do is this. Mark it down if you care, and I hope you do. Number one, the Bible teaches us we are to ask. We are to ask the Lord, Lord, fill me, baptize me, come upon, whatever term you use. Lord, I want your Holy Spirit's power in my life. Number two, receive that power by faith. Believe him. Trust him to empower you. And third, it's what he's been talking about in Luke 24. Go. Go home. Go to your job. Go to your city. Go to your county. Go to the world. Pretty amazing. This word endued with power, mark it in your Bible, highlight it. It's very, very cool. I almost have to act it out. The word means to do this. It means to lift your hands, okay, watch, and it means to have a robe descended upon you. It means to put up your hands and a robe completely engulfs you. The Holy Spirit is going to completely engulf your life. That is what he said. That is a promise. The Bible says in Acts 4:33 that with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That is an awesome thing. And I'm going to wrap this up very quickly. So you might say to yourself, why do I need the Holy Spirit in my life the way that you speak of? Well, number one, you can't go to heaven without him. It's impossible. Whoever the Holy Spirit dwells in, if the rapture happens or if you die, the Holy Spirit recalls that person home. Remember the little Cabbage Patch? Is it Cabbage Patch dolls that have the little maker's stamp on their foot or their bottom or somewhere? Remember that? And they had a bunch of knockoffs. They were making a bunch of fake ones in Mexico and China because they were a big selling item. And everybody was either looking at the foot or looking at the little rump, and it had the stamp. It was sealed. Guess what? The Holy Spirit has sealed the true believer unto the day of redemption. When our friend was getting ready to go see Jesus, we had absolute, total confidence because her life had exhibited the fact that she had been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It was very clear. You can't go to heaven without him inside of you. Number two, you can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit's power. Are you living a life where you know that there's power and it's the power of the Holy Spirit? And then thirdly, this, you must be tagged or sealed by that Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we've been sealed unto the day of redemption, and that sealing is our inheritance. And then here we go, we end with this, the power to finish the course. This is precious to me, you guys. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? He said that to believers. And so as he's slowly ascending upward, they just heard him say, in a great blessing, he says, you're going to be filled with power.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Saving the Best for Last. Thanks for spending some time with us in this series. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, I've got my friend Pastor Jack in the studio with me today. Pastor Jack, it's been an awesome 2 years since we've been in the, maybe even over 2 years, right?
Two and a half years.
2.5 years we've been doing the Gospel of Luke. How about that?
Yeah.
And so let me ask you this. Why Luke specifically? Why did we decide to jump into that one?
Well, first of all, I have gone through all of the Gospels, and it was Luke that I actually had for last. And I love the way that Luke approaches. He was a medical doctor.
Yeah.
He was actually a medical doctor that was, frankly, worked for someone. We don't know who that someone is, but he was given to Paul, as it were, as a traveling physician. Can you imagine in the ministry today having a traveling physician
to keep
you alive?
Yeah, that might be a good idea for me.
Paul was getting beat up. He was getting torn to pieces.
Yeah.
And the way that Luke unpacks the humanness of Jesus is unlike any of the other four Gospels. It's absolutely remarkable.
So looking back on this series in the book of Luke, yeah, it's one book, but there are so many themes throughout the book of Luke. Mm. It's almost like a mini-series after a mini-series, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I think that if you were walking with Jesus, let's say it's Monday, and you would experience various things with Jesus on Monday, and then Monday's over, and then Tuesday you get up and you go somewhere with him again. And I think if we look at the Word of God that way, study it and teach it that way, that though it's one book, the book of Luke, it's obviously, when you read chapters, even sometimes it's within maybe 2 to 3 different topics or themes within a chapter, that you are experiencing what we call our program. It's where it comes from, real life.
Yeah.
And so, it works that way. We think as humans, kind of like in a theme. Do you remember the summer of
fill in the blank, or that was the winter of.
Yeah.
Well, this is the book of Luke, and in that, it was the prodigal come home.
Yeah.
Or it was the preparation for us for prayer.
Yeah. And so now we officially commission the Luke series. It's written down.
To the Library of Congress it goes. Gospel of Luke took us 2.5 years. Hope you enjoy it.
So listen, the Gospel of Luke is rich in content. And, you know, we will be moving on to a new series in this new year. But don't forget that you can always catch the entire Gospel of Luke series at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.